Welcome to Your Weekly Dose podcast, the only show for those who missed the Mark and Brian radio program. Coming to you from Orange County in Southern California. Hear it happen live without a net every Saturday morning at 10 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. Download past episodes directly from our website, yourweeklydose.com. But if you're on the go, subscribe through iTunes, Podbean, Stitcher, and make sure you leave a review. Now, here's this week's show.
Today.
Oh, we are?
Yes, we are.
Let me grab that knob. We're going to 11.
Let's go. Woo-hoo. Well, good morning, everybody. Happy Saturday to all of you. In the room today, we got a sausage fest.
Oh, yeah.
I got Steve Silva.
Yeah.
I got producer Zach.
Hi, how are you?
I've got intern Christopher.
Howdy-ho there.
And, of course, I am Sean Roberts, and together we are your Weekly Dose Podcast.
Thank you for joining us today as we are streaming live to you from Orange County, California. We are the only podcast who continue the radio traditions of Mark and Brian. If you miss them as much as we do, then you tuned into the right show.
That's right, but this podcast isn't just for M&B listeners. It's also for those who are looking for just a podcast to have fun and enjoy good old-fashioned morning radio-style program.
Oh, yeah. For those of you who recently found us, thank you. Thank you for joining the family. We are so glad you listened to the show. If you would like to be a part of the show, you know you can just say hi or join a conversation, maybe even play a game, quiz me, quiz you.
Absolutely.
There's a lot of different things you can do.
Absolutely. Of course, we got a pretty cool show today for you guys because today is our anniversary show. That's right. It's been 4 years that we have been on the air, and we are starting year number 5 today.
No.
Get out.
Absolutely.
Yep. No way.
Yeah, absolutely. So we got a lot of cool things for you guys. We got sports with Brad Young later on at 10:15. We got horoscopes, Tom Brady tweets, top Super Bowl halftime shows, and we'll even be asking the crystal ball some questions too, and of course, celebrating 4 years of being on the air.
Now then, you can always interact with the show by calling in, or if you like, you can comment on our website, yourweeklydose.com, or send a message to us on Twitter and Instagram at yourweeklydose1. Say hello to us on Facebook at yourweeklydose, or if you want to send us a personal message, you can email us at yourweeklydose1@gmail.com.
And you can always download the show for free from our website, but you can also subscribe to the show through iTunes, iHeartRadio, or Spotify. Just search for Your Weekly Dose, and most importantly, rate and review the show. You know, tell the world what you think about us. Today's theme song, though, is Turn It Up by, believe it or not, the New Monkees.
Yes. Turn It Up?
Oh, yeah.
Turn It Up.
I like it.
Whoa.
On the home stretch.
That's right. These guys, these four guys, were created by the same producers who did the Monkees, of course.
Were what?
These four guys were created by the same.
Created. Oh,
yeah. Created by the same. By the same original producers that put together the original Monkees.
Mm-hmm.
So by today's standards, we would call it a reboot. But back in 1986, apparently it didn't go well for them.
They
only put one album out, but all four guys are friends of mine. They're wonderful guys, and Turn It Up was actually their theme song on the show itself. So we figured it was a little bit appropriate since we're kind of having a little bit of a party mood today. And yeah, exactly. So, and you can go to Amazon and any other outlet where you're going to download your music, but please go to Amazon because they are our main sponsor. All you got to do is go to our website, look for the Amazon banner, click on that just like that, and then bookmark it because that's the most important part, and then look up New Monkees, and then download their only album.
Yes.
Shut up and take my money.
And that's what they'll say to you, because Lord knows, I know all four guys, they need the help they need. So, but no, they're all doing well. They're all great guys. Matter of fact, I just spoke to Larry the other day, too. So,
oh, really?
He says hello to us.
Cool. Hello
so,
back.
Yeah. So, anyway.
That's huge.
It is. We have a quick announcement, though.
Why, thank you.
if you don't know or haven't heard yet, of course, we pay homage to Mark and Brian. But Mark and Linda Thompson will now become grandparents.
Ooh.
You know, when we spoke to Mark a few years back and everything, we had him on the show. Amy was just getting married. Matt, I think, was already married. And it was kind of like, okay, you know, that's all they want now is to have the grandkids. So they couldn't, they're waiting for that. They've been waiting for this moment. Mark talked about that. And, the cool thing is that they found out during the Thanksgiving holiday last year that Amy was pregnant. Of course, Mark had his money on Amy to be the first one to toss one out there. And so
she won by flying colors.
She won by a flying leg. That's how that happened. And so she's going to be having a baby. And they just found out it's going to be a baby boy.
Oh, my.
Ooh.
So congratulations to Mark and Linda.
A grandson.
Mark, I win twice.
Yeah, exactly. And, of course, to Amy and Brad, her husband, on having their first baby. So congratulations, though, to the Thompson family on having their first grandchild. So I'm very excited for them. With that being said, let's catch up. Let's start off with Zach. How was your week, bud?
Hold on. I'm in charge of the music. I got to wait until this goes down.
Oh.
Give me like five more seconds. I'll be right with you.
Okay.
Okay, proceed. What?
How was your week?
I got a bone to pick with the organization known as Secret Nug Exchange in Yorba Linda. For those of you playing the home game, they sell weed to you and deliver it.
Ah. Okay.
Okay. We can be honest about this. It's California. We all know it's illegal. It's not a big surprise.
Yeah.
Just make sure. Okay.
There's
Steve's high every day.
Yeah.
He probably is right now. But I do have a bone to pick with this particular organization because we've been using them for years. Not once.
Not twice.
But three times. They gave us moldy brownies.
Oh.
So here's how the events unfolded. 7:45, me and my friend Dave are like, hey, you know what? We're playing Mortal Kombat. An edible sounds good right now. I'm like, eh, all right, why not? Order it. We get it about a half an hour later. There's mold all over it.
Really?
It is disgusting here as I'm telling this story. So then the next one, they say, oh, we're sorry. We'll send you. Okay, here's the first one. I showed Steve.
Oh.
I already showed Steve.
Oh, my.
Okay.
Yeah.
Second one, they say, we're sorry. We'll replace it. No problem. Cool. Here's the second one.
Oh, that's even worse.
Now, here's where I almost threw up. I finally said, guys, come on. These things don't have a long shelf life. What do you leave them out for, weeks? They're like, well, it says 2 to 4 weeks on the box. I'm like, oh, good Lord, no. These are only supposed to be out there for at least 2 days.
Right.
If not, you throw them out. These are sitting here for weeks. So here is a completely different one. Not the same one that we've been getting, but look at this. I'm going to put the pictures on the website.
Oh, my God. That is... I mean, are you trying to make your own penicillin or something?
I don't know. But by this point, it's 9:30. And they just tell us, we're really sorry. This is so embarrassing. Just please. Luckily, what they don't realize is me and my friend, like, we'll just rip that part off and eat the part that's... So thanks. This gave us $60 worth of stuff.
But still,
kind of like,
I mean,
cheese, too. You know,
it
just
is.
Slice it off and eat it.
Yeah, but still, though, I mean, especially when you're paying that kind of amount of money.
Yeah, you don't want to see it. That's the thing.
Exactly.
That's like five blocks of cheese for one brownie.
Dude, I'm sorry to hear that, man.
But no, it was an incredibly funny outcome, and just the whole thing, we just couldn't stop laughing because we know we're gonna get whatever we want in return. So, but it was fun.
Steve, how was your week?
Anime and comedy.
Ah,
that's it.
I gave him a new one.
Go nowhere, and you know, trying to stay away from people as much as humanly possible until I can get vaccinated, which looks like maybe next week, because they remember. I don't know if anybody knows, but like Walmart, CVS, Walgreens, other didn't get vaccinations for them to give to people because of a program, and they undid that program because they weren't using it. Mm-hmm. So now those are going to be reestablished to, like, CVS Pharmacy and other things like that. Mm-hmm. So I'm kind of waiting to see if I can just call CVS and make an appointment with them when they get this, like, it was supposed to be this week, the beginning of this week.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Well, after the show today, I'm taking my mom to get her first shot. We're driving up to Dodger Stadium. So
you have an appointment time?
Or? Yeah, yeah. A cousin of hers actually was the one who made the appointment. So once we're done here, like I said, I can shoot up to my mom's, then we'll shoot up to Dodger Stadium. So, but no, it's important to get
it. That works. Yeah. So I've just been laughing a lot, and you know. Mm-hmm.
Well, I've had an interesting week so far.
Really?
Got my drums. Got new heads on my drum set and everything. And I've been practicing all week and with the drums and so forth. So I've been having some fun with that. And the good news is that our friend Ray, who does the open mic out in Brea. Well, we know that the Mexican restaurant Durango is closed down, unfortunately. Well, I called over at Lucky John's and talked to the owner, Trevor. He's willing to have us over there outside next Sunday.
Oh.
So we'll have an open mic over there as well. So
now, that'd be cool.
Yeah.
Wow.
It's a perfect area. Granted, there's not that much food or anything. It's mainly, you know, alcohol. But
unless you get Trevor, the taco guy there.
And that's just it. Trevor was talking about bringing the taco guy in and kind of doing like a 1-to-5 kind of thing for 4 hours and doing the open mic there. So we're going to try it out and check it out and see what's going on. So it'll be kind of cool and have some fun with it. Yeah. Yeah, so I think so too. You know what's even more fun?
What?
Talking about sports.
Ooh.
Oh, yeah. On the phone with us is our buddy, our pal, Brad Young. How are you, buddy?
I am absolutely freaking amazing. How are you?
We are doing good this morning, man. And who would have thought that we've been doing you joining us for our 4-year anniversary? How cool is that?
You know what's even cooler is, and not to get all godlike and stuff, 4 in our family is our spiritual lucky number. So this is going to be a great year.
There we go. And we're so happy that you have joined our family and to be our sports guy, man. So we're very excited.
As they would say, I'm not worthy.
So what's going on in sports, buddy? Anything new? Anything special going on?
Oh, there's a little game this weekend. What's it called? The Puppy Bowl on Fox
Ooh.
News. I call that the Poo-Poo Bowl. we got a little game called the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Obviously, we have Tampa Bay and Kansas City. And it's sort of a home game per se for the Bucks, but not really, because they're not going to be firing the cannon and stuff like that. And yeah,
What's the line looking like, Brad?
What's that?
What's the line looking like?
3.5, and it also depends where you go. It's 3.5, so it's if you want to beat Kansas City, you take the Bucks plus 3.5, which means Kansas City would have to win by 3.5 points.
Right.
Yeah. So, yeah, that's what's going on. And there's a lot of funky prop bets out there, too. You bring up bets. And a fun fact about this one, you know, the coin toss, they always say it's 50-50.
Right.
It's really not, because if you look at the last 7 years, 6 of the last 7 years have been tails, and there's a reason behind it. The tail side is 3% heavier than the head side. So it's actually 47% weight on one side and 53% weight on the other. So that's a little fun fact. So
interesting. If you're gonna go
I'd bet some money on the coin toss to be tails. That's what I would do.
Absolutely. You know? Absolutely. Who are you thinking that is going to take the Super Bowl?
I'm hoping Brady, so he'll retire. But that being said, probably Kansas City, and I think it'll be like 43-35. I think it's going to be super high scoring, in my opinion. It's just going to be like an arcade game. Everybody just flinging it, you know. But, you know, while they're flinging it, we got to be eating it, right? We got to be eating food.
Oh, well, that's the best part of the game.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, totally. And I just wanted to ask you guys, can you guys name, let's say, the top 10 Super Bowl foods?
Cheese.
Cheese is not – well, I'll put that with cheese and dip platter. So, yes, that is one.
Wings.
Wings is number one.
Wow.
Dude, ooh, come on. I worked at a pizza wings place for 10 years. I know that's a fact.
I'm gonna say some kind of guacamole.
That would be under chips and dip. So we already got that one.
Okay, all right. So
those are like adjectives.
How about something similar to buffalo wings?
Chicken strips.
Buffalo chicken dip is number two.
Oh wow!
So that's funny. Different. The dip is different than the wings.
Yeah, you've never had buffalo chicken dip?
No.
That's actually on the list numerically.
Yes.
Wow.
It's number two.
Interesting.
It is incredible. It is incredible. That, I will send you.
I'm actually a little amazed that beat guacamole. I don't know why.
Yeah.
It's like a little party in your mouth.
Okay. I gotta get on this.
Okay, what about pizza? Like, people are always ordering pizza.
Pizza is not in the top 10, believe it or not. It's actually
really?
Wow. Yeah.
The order goes wings, buffalo chicken dip, fried chicken, specifically Publix, and I think they're saying Publix because of Tampa Bay.
Uh-huh.
Cheese sliders, nachos, chips and dip, cookie cake, fried pickles, of all things.
Fried pickles?
You eat a freaking fried pickle? I don't think so. And then a sandwich ring or sub. That's your top 10, lady.
Yeah.
That makes sense. Yeah, that makes sense. Like, yeah, you can go to Subway and get those things, yeah.
Is there any shrimp plate on the list?
There is no shrimp plate. There is no shrimp plate, but there should be, of course.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Absolutely. Absolutely.
So, yeah, so the game will be fun. You know, the first time a team is actually playing in their home stadium, which is kind of cool. And the next year, the Rams have the opportunity at SoFi, which getting Matthew Stafford, which they just did this past week, I think sets them up in the top five to make the Super Bowl, I think, for next year. So crazy, crazy stuff going on this week.
With the with the team up that that Brady did with Gronsky and everything, I mean, I was kind of surprised that he kind of went with Brady on this. Do you think he'll be using Gronk a little bit more than he has in the past?
I think so, too. And I think if they do win, I will almost guarantee, and I'm sure there is a prop, Brett, that Gronk will retire if they win for sure. I think Gronk will go out on top. I think Gronk's going to get a lot. He hasn't been getting that much. It's been like five throws five throws a game. But I think Gronk, him being the size, I think Gronk's going to see a lot of action. I think they're going to be Tampa Bay is going to blitz the hell out of Kansas City because the left and right guard are out for Kansas City, so they're plugging some new guys in that haven't really played in that position so much. So it should be interesting. It'll be a fun game.
Do you think it's going to be more of a running game or more of a passing game?
Passing. I think it's going to be a lot more passing. I'll bet it'll be like 60-40. Okay. 60-40. Yeah. What do you think?
I don't know. I mean, to me, I think if he uses Gronk more, I think it's going to be a little bit of a half and half. But I think he's going to be using Gronk more, a little bit more than he has in the past. With this team, after leaving the Patriots, it kind of reminds me right now of the way Emmitt Smith and Troy Aikman were such a pair. And, yeah. You know, you give the ball to Emmitt. And, you know, he got the job done, basically. And I think that's the way it's going to be this time around because, to me, they're the main two that stand out.
Oh, for sure. If Gronk hadn't come out of retirement, I don't think the Bucs would be in the Super Bowl. It's just he's that good of not only just a receiver but a blocker.
Right, exactly. Exactly.
Which, in turn, could lay, you know, a lot of yards on the ground. So, I mean, your guess is as good as mine when it comes to this because it seems there's no rhyme, no reason to Arians and Brady.
Yeah. Because of Brady's past and everything, do you feel that the NFL is really keeping an eye on him with this game?
I think they're keeping an eye on everybody. They're making it so quarterback friendly in regards to people getting hurt and stuff like that. I know you're referring to Deflategate and stuff like that.
Right.
If that were to happen again, Brady's an idiot.
Mm-hmm.
If he didn't learn the first time, you know, I don't think they're going to be gunning for him, but I think they're going to be taking precautions for both sides to make sure there's none of that BS from the past.
It's kind of like the way the election ended up. With everybody making so much noise about it, everybody was like 10 times more careful with everything they did, so there was nothing to look at and even suggest any improprieties. And I think that's how the Super Bowl is going to be, hopefully.
Yeah, Super Bowl will be fun. You know, halftime show always sucks, but, you know. That's yeah. The potty.
Well, what was it, The Weeknd's playing, right, on this show?
I'm sorry?
Is it The Weeknd who's playing, who's doing the halftime show?
Yeah.
So, and from my understanding, he got surgery done, and we talked about it last time, too, I think, last week, and it just was just, he doesn't look good.
No, he's doing a publicity stunt, is what Amber said.
Oh, really?
He's got a new album coming out, and apparently he put the prosthetics and all the stuff on his face and all that for his album. That's what Amber was saying, and that's what I've been reading, too. Whether or not it's true,
Wow.
Is The Weeknd the guy that put that diamond in his forehead?
No, I think that's Lil Uzi or something.
Oh, God, I saw that 24
Why do I know that?
That's kind of scary.
Woo. No, he looks like he put an affinity stone in his freaking forehead. Idiot.
Yeah, it's worth $24 million. The guy's going to get mugged and somebody will cut that stone right out.
See, and this is why the world laughs at us, because we have celebrities like this.
It's ridiculous. So.
It is.
Makes for good radio content.
Who are you guys picking to win this weekend?
Me personally, I don't care who wins as long as it's not Brady.
Yeah.
So that would be Kansas City for Sean.
Yeah, I have a couple of friends of mine who actually are real big Kansas City fans and everything. So I'm gonna root for Kansas City.
I just want a good game regardless of who wins, you know?
Right. Well, I think that's all we can hope for. I mean, is always having some kind of a good game where it is going back and forth, you know? Last year was a great game, I thought.
But we'll see. I'm excited. And then football's over. And then what do? We go into baseball with Bauer.
Yes, I can't wait. Oh, I can't wait for baseball.
Apparently, he can't wait for baseball.
Yeah. Well, you know, baseball has been very, very good to him.
It has. It has been very, very good to me. It's in my bones. So.
In bones.
All right, Brad. Well, thank you so much, buddy.
Thank you, guys. I will talk to you in a couple of weeks. And stay low, drive hard, be positive, and love each other, but not too much.
Absolute.
There you go.
All right. Talk to you soon. Take care.
Bye, Brad.
All right, buddy.
Ready for takeoff, Captain?
Absolutely.
5, 4, 3, 2 Oh, shit.
Oops.
Well, there we are.
There you are. Yeah. I think, like I said, I just hope it's a good game. That's all I ever care for.
I just want food.
Yeah, that too.
That's all I care about.
Well, you know what I'm concerned about right now, though?
I have a feeling you're going to tell us.
Our horoscopes.
Button wouldn't work. These buttons just have a mind of their own.
They do. All right. I'll go first here because this month it's Aquarius. So we want to make sure that all the Aquarians out there know what the heck is going on.
And it's the dawning of the age of Aquarius.
It is. It is. So basically it's saying here that you guys are the cosmic favorite this time, Aquarius. With so much planetary power in your zodiac sign, you have a rare opportunity to direct all events in your favor. Well, that's kind of good. Venus joins you, so now is a great time to update your look or embrace romance. The new moon is on the 11th, and is most important of the year for you because it puts your wishes and hopes front and center. In the coming week, be sure to take action and build life of your dreams. That's always important, too. You know, you got to strike while the iron's hot, so to speak, right?
Yes, what you said.
Okay. However, despite this happiness and this happy news, trickster planet Mercury is spinning backwards.
Uh-oh.
Why, we don't know. You're trying to back up for whatever reason. In your zodiac sign until February 20th. So this can bring a slower pace to everything around you and cause delays and miscommunication and confusion. Once Mercury awakens up and finds out he's going the wrong way and begins to go forward, which is at the end of the month, you can sign contracts, make announcements, and agree to partnerships. So don't do anything because, you know, Mercury's going backwards right now.
Well, it got really hot where Mercury was, so he's trying to get back away from
the... Probably. That's, yeah, you never know. And finally, the third of the month brings your finances into your awareness as the sun heats up your solar second house, with Venus making you a money magnet from the 25th on. You can have an easier time increasing your income. And if you like to search for beautiful possessions, you're also favored to do so then. So there you go.
Yeah.
It doesn't seem like a bad month for you.
No.
You know, you just got to watch out for Mercury because he's still going to be spinning backwards for whatever reason. So, all right, who do you got, Steve?
Taurus.
Oh, God, help me.
Right, so this is Zach's here.
Yeah, yeah, pay attention, Zach.
Yeah, my name's Zach, not Yak.
Yak.
Thank you very much.
Hey, Yak.
I don't know, with that moldy stuff or whatever in your brownies, I'm going to be yakking up all this.
No one said I ate it. It was Exhibit A and Exhibit B.
Well, you didn't eat the mold. You ate the stuff around the mold.
We didn't finish the whole thing in one night.
Well, I didn't say you did, but you did
probably going to have to throw away one of them because it's not going to last another day or two.
Okay.
All right, what you got?
Unstoppable in February, Taurus. You're energized by the tremendous power of Mars through the entire month. You'll be fired up to tackle your goals and able to make a great deal of progress on any of your personal or professional plans. Take the initiative. Be a leader. Don't sit in the shadows.
Because it's cold there.
However.
Yeah, there's no light either.
There's always a big however. It's like Pee Wee Herman, everybody has a big butt.
My script says whoever on here, but that's probably a typo.
Who? How? Well, if you exchange the W over. Anyway, despite your enthusiasm, there will be some delays regarding career matters. Try not to sign any contracts or agree to anything during this time because it could end up shifting later down the line. This could prove difficult to do, though, because the new moon on the 11th is sure to bring some fresh opportunities your way. If you can hold off signing or announcing them until later in the month, you'll be happy you did.
All right.
So, Venus is going to could bring applause and expect to be surrounded by a lot of people who love and support you in the weeks ahead. February ends with a full moon in your solar fifth house of love, creativity, and fertility on the 27th.
Ooh.
This luminary
That's scary.
Will surely light your heart on fire and bring you the chance to fall more deeply in love with your current
baby.
Partner or find someone new.
That is the best ending I've ever heard. Or find someone new, dickhead.
All right, what you got, Zach?
I got Gemini, so I'm assuming that's you.
Yeah,
I'm going to do something a little different this time, just because I'm kind of in my little mood.
All right.
Which is a good one. I'm going to read every part of these as a different voice.
Ooh.
We're going to have a little voice roulette.
Okay.
All right. February could feel especially slow for you, Gemini. Oh, boy, this is not going to be a train wreck. This is because of your ruler Mercury is fast asleep in a retrograde cycle until February 20th, of course. So basically, you're screwed for the majority of the month.
Oh, nice.
However, mighty Mars ignites your solar 12th house of rest. Encourage you to lie low, rest, and recharge. Don't let the slower pace stress you out. Instead, find ways to use the vibe to catch up on tasks or give yourself some much-needed TLC.
That was so good. But however, a new moon in your solar 9th house will be opening a doorway to your regarding an academic immigration. I think it's immigration. This might be Trump script. Travel or publishing matter. Oh, this is definitely Trump script. Here we go, Rick. Venus joins our great luminary here on the 12th. The 25th. Holy crap. This means that now and in the weeks ahead, you can find great professional opportunities coming your way. Recognition, applause, and awards are possible. If you seek to hire rise... Or to rise higher, use the... Apparently I'm dyslexic, guys.
Or the highest wire. Who knows?
Use this planetary strength to your advantage.
The month ends with a full moon of your solar four, causing you to focus on your work-life balance. Some Geminis can move it at this time, decades, decide it's time to fix up the space or deal with the family matter.
Hey, would you want a dozen more seconds to to work it out?
Imagine trying to read that as like Scooby-Doo, like straight up Scooby-Doo reading a paragraph.
Oh, dude, that's going to be hard.
That could just be, let's see, let's just go.
A new moon in our solar night house will be opening a doorway to regarding an academic, immigration, travel, or publishing matter.
I guess it's not that bad.
This almost sounds like Yoda, though.
It's like Yoda just hit the pipe.
Change around a few words, it would be Yoda.
Yeah. All right, Scorpio's the last one that we got, so this is yours, Steve.
That's me.
All right, a slower pace. I'm gonna do this in my normal voice.
All right, cool.
A slower pace of life is guaranteed in February. Your life is always slow. What the hell?
I know. That's no change.
Yeah, okay. But this is because Mercury, planet of communication clarity, is spinning backwards. There's that backwards thing again for whatever reason.
It's got too hot.
Yeah, until the 20th. So despite some delays or uncertainty, if you can hold off making any significant decisions, like buying brownies, I guess. I don't know. Until after the 20th.
I did have one. I haven't gotten into it yet.
Okay. Well, wait till after the 20th because you'll be happy that you did.
Then
that
it
you
will have mold.
Yeah, exactly. Now, apparently the sun moves into your solar fifth house of romance.
And mold.
On the 18th.
Oh.
And it'll soon be joined by, Venus.
Hey, Venus.
The planet. The planet of love.
That was one of my favorite songs way back when I was young.
On the 25th, and this could bring...
Yeah, baby!
Yeah, it could bring single Scorpions a dazzling opportunity to meet someone new.
Do I make you horny, baby?
Or bring sensuality...
Yeah, baby!
Or bring sensuality to those already committed. So you're going to find somebody new.
Yay!
Yeah, yeah.
That's does he a lot have somebody, better than nobody.
I was gonna say, does he have somebody old?
I don't have somebody anything.
Yeah. Somebody borrowed, maybe.
It's time to bring him back. Library card.
Lord knows he's blue.
Yeah.
Library card's expired.
Okay. And the month ends, though, with a full moon in your solar 11th house.
That's because my pants don't fit anymore and they fall off.
Well, that's your 11th house, a friendship on February 27th. An invitation to a lovely event or networking soiree is likely to come to you now. If you attend, you could be in tremendously high spirits.
Like tomorrow?
No,
that's a huge bitch.
After the 27th.
That's the end of the month.
Right. Mm.
Jeez, you know that's a whole, 3 weeks away?
Yeah, it is. You got to wait, though, but, you know, hey. So
he's going to forget this conversation in, 3 days. It doesn't matter, 3 weeks.
Well, that was exciting.
Maybe 3 days. How about the end of the day?
Okay, 3 hours tops.
Yeah.
So if we were to go back and ask him, what were we talking about in horoscopes? What are the odds in 3 hours he could retain any
of that? I remember Mercury was getting hot for some reason.
And spinning backwards.
That'll be it.
So there's our horoscope so for the month, guys.
Woo!
Well, unfortunately, we don't have Amber here today. Otherwise, we do a round robin on this, though. So we're just going to kind of go back and forth. And
where is she?
She's sick. She's not doing well. She said her allergies are really kind of kicking up a notch.
Yeah.
Well, why aren't we, checking on her to see how she is?
Want to check on her real quick?
I kind of do.
We check on her.
Okay, let's give her a quick call. We got time.
This might work.
She's not expecting it, right?
No, she's not.
Taking the dog out for a walk and left the phone at home.
That or she's in the shower or something.
Oh, wait a minute. Let me think
about
that.
What if she fell in the shower?
Well, the kids are there, though, too. So.
All right, well.
Oh, they are?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
I just,
okay.
You know, when she's not here, I grow concerned, and I like to try and embarrass her because she's not here, and that's fun for me.
I know. Well, last week she was complaining about you, you know, because you were in Vegas and everything,
mm-hmm.
you know, and you weren't feeling well with the tonsillitis and stuff and what have you, and now she's out, so. Okay, well, you know what, again, tomorrow is the Super Bowl.
Yes, it is.
And I know some people love Tom Brady.
Yes, they do.
Some people don't care for the man because of what he's done.
That's for sure.
You know? So I thought we could figure out, okay, what kind of tweets can we find regarding Tom Brady?
Now, before we go into this, I have to give a little warning to all of you youngsters who are listening. Some of these tweets are not very family friendly. So, you know, earmuffs, everybody, earmuffs.
Don't let the NFL theme confuse you.
I think we kind of edited it a little bit, though.
Oh, I don't know. I've seen, you know, I already see butthole and shit.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know.
Well, those ones, yeah. Well, those
dickless bitch.
The kids have heard of it. The kids have heard of it.
Gee, spoiler alert.
Yeah, well.
All right, let's just go back and forth. Go down the list.
Tom Brady seems like the kind of man who doesn't know how to use a wrench. He has to call the guy.
Hi, I'm Tom Brady. And I'm a crybaby, and I have a butthole on my chin.
Yeah, there you go.
That's a bitch.
Can we be real for a moment?
No.
Is there really anyone you'd rather see dipped in a vat of rendered bacon fat than Tom Brady?
Maybe more bacon.
And then deep fat fried.
Yeah.
With bacon.
Well, I hope everyone has a great Sunday except for Tom Brady. F you, Tom Brady.
There you go.
Very original.
Okay, here you go. You ready? I this guy, I'm sure, he wasn't really sure what he wanted to say, but here it goes. Tom Brady, you suck booty, you ugly, you suck. You throw like a fat lady with flabby arm and a little girl. You butt face.
Wow, what a beautiful ending.
He was
butt
a little
face.
Confused about what he wanted to say.
I just love the fact that it almost sounds like Tarzanese.
Yeah.
Sounds like a third grader.
You suck booty. F you, Tom Brady, you fat bitch. I hope you cry.
Funny.
I hope he stubs his toe. How about that?
Turf toe.
Yeah.
F you, Tom Brady, I hope this loss depresses you so bad that you can hardly have sex with your supermodel wife in your giant mansion.
You tell him. You tell him, Steve.
Yeah, boy.
Get it all out. We know you have it in you. Get it out.
Do you ever watch and listen to Tom Brady speak and think to yourself, this is the personification of an actual butthole taking a shit?
I guess there might have been a more poetic way of saying that, but it was clear and concise.
Very clear.
I hate Tom Brady so much, but I have no legit reason to. He's a nice guy, but I hope they break his legs.
You'd listen to him.
That's pretty good.
Yeah.
Big city Tom Brady, we hate you. Hate you.
Tom Brady really is a good quarterback, but he will forever be known as a dickless bitch.
Is that true? Yes, so this man has no penis. F you, Tom Brady. I hope your dog eats chocolate and gets really sick and throws up on your socks.
Okay. That's all you want about Tom Brady. But come on.
Leave his dog out of it.
What did the dog do?
The dog didn't do anything.
The dog, his wife, just, you know. And she's a good-looking lady, you know.
Well, you have that much money and play a sport or a musical instrument, it's a gimme.
Well, no, seriously, I'll let her deflate me.
No, seriously, though. What do the dogs do?
Nothing.
Why must they say
that? All right. Tom Brady was that kid that got picked last for kickball. So as a result, he decided to deflate the kickballs for revenge.
There you go. I don't care who wins the Super Bowl as long as Tom Brady loses.
That's what I said earlier. Yeah, perfect.
That's what you said.
That's perfect. I hate Tom Brady. He beat my Bills for nearly 20 years. But you got to respect the man. He proved over and over again he is the best quarterback of all time. Effing douchebag.
Okay, Tom Brady, how does it make you feel? The only reason your wife is with you is because you've thrown a pigskin so well. No other talents. Was that Trump doing that one?
I don't know.
Like a Trump tweet there.
Oh, my gosh. Poor Tom Brady, man. But, hey, you know, those are the tweaks that we got to the Tom Brady version.
That's the wrong one.
Yeah, it was.
That's it, Steve. I'm not taking your edibles anymore before shows. That's it. Draw the line.
Oh, well, it's got to be drawn somewhere.
It does.
All right. And we were talking about the weekend also earlier, that he's going to be doing the show, the halftime show. There have been wonderful halftime shows.
Mm-hmm.
There have been some that have just bombed. Mm. Some that we've liked because of certain incidences and accidents that have happened.
Little accidental body parts.
You know, there's just been some that you kind of go, okay, you know. So this time, it's the top five. Which ones do you think is the top five halftime shows of all time?
The one with Janet Jackson's boob.
Nope, did not make it.
Oh, man. Yeah. That's the only one that I
and
remember.
That's the reason why it would make it. It's just because of that, though. But I mean,
know.
They honestly put on a good show.
Wasn't it Justin Timberlake, too?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Oh, he was the culprit.
Yeah.
There were too many people that hated that.
Well, it's probably a bunch of five-year-olds that were watching, and they had a lot of questions.
Exactly, yeah. True. Especially women are all like, ah! And they go, what the hell do you care? Okay, whoa, where are we?
That just screeching halt. What do you care, Cricket?
All right, any guesses?
Did Michael Jackson do it?
Michael Jackson came in at number three.
Number three.
Super Bowl 27. And, of course, this was here in Pasadena.
Oh, Rose Bowl.
Yep, 1993 is when it came down. And actually, we talked about this earlier. It was the Dallas Cowboys beat the Buffalo Bills. 52-17 is what the score was.
Ooh.
Yep. The King of Pop was the only interesting part of this blowout Super Bowl. And as mentioned earlier, he helped turn the halftime show into the Holy Grail gig it is today. He made the halftime show America's preeminent platform for reaching the masses, and his natural sense of spectacle was perfect for American football, as it exemplified by his insane leap up from the trapdoor on the stage, that long stare, the aviators, the moonwalk, everything. It's easy to forget now why the king was king, but the video should remind you. There you go. So
there you go.
Yeah. Zach, I'm sorry. Can you hand me my glasses over there, please? I've got two pairs.
Is the Coldplay Beyonce one listed by any chance? I know a lot of people liked that.
Let's see here. I don't know if it was Coldplay, but Beyonce is mentioned, though. She's actually number five.
Okay, she came on with Coldplay when they did it.
Okay, well, it says here Beyonce with Destiny's Child, and that was Super Bowl 47.
Okay.
This was New Orleans, February 3rd, 2013. It was the Baltimore Ravens beat the San Francisco 49ers. This was a good game, 34-31. Beyonce and Destiny's Child sure know how to put on a show. It's like they're professionals or something. With lighting and the graphic work that elevated rather than distract from the performance, you'll have to decide for yourself if this has anything to do with the infamous power outage in the third quarter. Oh, I remember that. That's right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Major props to the rest of Destiny's Child for entering the stage via trap door in the same move Michael Jackson rolled 20 years earlier.
Oh.
All right, so we did number three and number five.
How about Madonna?
Did not do the top five, no.
Oh.
That's Prince.
Prince, number one.
Winner.
Yes.
Was it really?
Right.
Yeah. Prince was number one. This was Super Bowl 31 in Miami, Florida. It was 2007. It was the Indianapolis Colts beat the Chicago Bears. Sorry, Brian. 29-17. It's not even close. In Driving Relentless Rain, the best guitarist on the planet pulled off an insane rendition of Purple Rain. High-heeled dancers fearlessly twirled on the slick stage around him, All of Prince's seemingly infinite talents were on display, including the ability to turn music into a religious experience. I had heard that the person that was producing the halftime show, they were telling Prince, hey, you know, the rain's coming down or whatever, you know, and everything. And they had asked him, you know, what do you want to do? And Prince goes, can you make it rain harder?
Going to go out there and give it.
Make it hail.
Everything.
Yeah, so, okay. All right, so we got number one, Prince. Number three, Michael Jackson. Number five was Beyonce and Destiny's Child. Number two and number four, who do you think it is?
Bruno Mars.
Not in the top five, no.
Uh-huh. Ooh.
And he did do a good job, though.
He did
do a good job.
Tom Petty.
No.
Oh, that's heartbreaking.
Yeah.
Oh, I see what you did there.
Yeah.
Wow.
Puns. Puns.
Yeah, I got a million of them.
I know you.
Yeah,
know.
Yeah, you know. No, we're scared about.
No, you got a couple.
Zach's favorite thing is a pun.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's not right. True.
Any other guesses, guys?
I have no other guesses.
Aerosmith.
No, not in the top five.
How about a hint?
Joshua Tree.
Oh, you too.
You too.
That's right.
Oh, please be number two.
They are number two. Super Bowl number 36.
They should have named themselves U1.
See, I hate puns, but I like ironic twists.
Yeah. New Orleans, Louisiana, 2002. New England Patriots beat the St. Louis Rams 20-17, so another close game. When the nation needed to heal, it calls on Bono. Yeah, the first Super Bowl after 9/11 went heavy on the patriotism and symbolism, with Tom Brady leading the Patriots, beating the heavily favored Rams. At halftime, U2 delivered the kind of bold sentimentally that both attracts and repeals legions of fans and detractors. Though it's tough not to appreciate the raw power of the performance when the names of the 9/11 victims began scrolling on a huge tapestry hung from
that.
The Superdome ceiling, Bono actually said, "We play where the streets have no names whenever we need God to walk through the room."
Yeah, that was heavy.
Yeah. Yeah. All right, and I'll give you guys the last one here. Believe it or not, Diana Ross was number four.
Oh, I never would have got it, unfortunately.
Super Bowl 30. This was in Tempe, Arizona. This was in 1996. Dallas Cowboys beat the Pittsburgh Steelers 27-17. Celebrating the game's 30th installment required a diva who could carry the show by herself, and Diana Ross delivered. She worked her ass off. You'll get worn out watching her costume changes, though there's far less flash than in subsequent years. Still, when you've got a voice like Ross, you don't need fancy digital graphics. You do, however, need to fly out of the stadium in a freaking helicopter, which isn't just the most badass diva move ever, but also gets Ross around all of that pesky traffic. It wasn't that competitive of a game anyway. So, there you go. So, there's the top Super Bowl halftime shows. Number five was Beyonce, Destiny's Child. Four, Diana Ross. Three was Michael Jackson. Number two was U2, and number one, hands down, was Prince by far.
There you have it.
There you go, yeah.
Everything you ever wanted to know about the Super Bowl halftime has just been delivered to your lucky ears.
Yeah, there you go. So, this year, Christopher, you said we did have some Super Bowl mentions?
Yes, we do have some Super Bowl comments over on Twitter and Facebook.
Oh, cool.
Woo-hoo.
So, over on Facebook, we have Art Gabaldon, uh-huh. I think. There's a halftime show?
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
Then we have James Thacker, I believe, that says Prince, along with Lori Bloom, also saying Prince.
Yeah.
Duh. And then we have a eye-rolling emoji, which is actually kind of funny. And then over on Twitter, we got IanB78 saying, emotionally, this one, and then putting a link for the Tom Petty Super Bowl.
Oh, see? See, that should have been on there.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, like I said, I just did the top five. I didn't do the top
I don't
10.
Care. It should have been top six. Tom Petty deserves it,
wait,
damn
wait.
It.
Let me check something. Oh, number six, Tom Petty. There you go. Yeah, you're welcome.
That's right. I get what I want.
Otherwise, it would have been heartbreaking.
Yes, it would definitely be heartbreaking.
Oh, good Lord.
So that is our comments on our Twitter and Facebook.
Cool. Thank you, Christopher. All right. Once again, guys, this is our fourth year of doing this show. There were several reasons why we started this. One of them was for myself on a personal level. I've openly talked about it, basically. I was going through a little bit of a depression. And I was missing my laughter, basically, is what it was. And we've had a number of wonderful guests on the show, and one of them that I wanted to get on was Craig Shoemaker, a comedian, friend of the program, actually. He's been on quite a few times, mainly because Craig had something called Laughter Heals, an organization that he's put together, where you just kind of laugh out your problems, basically. And that was just one thing that I was missing, was that laughter, that constant thing of feeling good, because laughing makes you feel wonderful. So combining that with a lot of people here in Southern California, and of course I know not that many people out with our syndication in Lime City Radio Network in Indianapolis, and of course with Delmarva on the East Coast, know who Mark and Brian are. And just real quick, Mark and Brian were two DJs that came from Birmingham, Alabama to Los Angeles, left a huge impact here with us. They were on the air for 25 years straight. They were together for 27 years. They retired in 2012, and just last year, we helped them get into the Radio Hall of Fame, finally. Very well deserved, needed to be done. And a lot of people were missing the type of show that they put on here in Southern California. And so we tried to replicate that show. It's nothing more than trying to feel good, tease each other, have fun with each other, make fun of each other.
Tease Zach
an awful lot. And do skits and so forth and things like that. And just kind of have fun, you know, kind of like any morning radio program would do. But in the same vein of way Mark and Brian did it, you know. So that's what our show kind of is based upon. And I can't believe that we've lasted this long myself. We've had friends who lasted a little bit longer, but where they're trying to make a comeback right now, it's just been difficult for them. Like our friend Kat Ellis, she's tried. The thing is, what's hard for her about her podcast is that it deals with wine, so they would always be broadcast remotely at a winery. Wineries are closed right now, or they're semi-open, so it's...
Yeah, you can't really involve them.
Yeah, do a whole lot. So so that was one of the reasons why we started this show, mainly for the local listener here, and we've been very blessed that Delmarva and Lime City Radio have taken us. They love our show and what we do and how we do it and everything. But we've been very blessed also in the fact that a lot of people have enjoyed the show. We've had a lot of wonderful experiences, including some of the guests that we've had on. Real quick, Zach, for you, since you've been with us as our longest producer, a couple of years now, what were some of your favorite moments that where it kind of got to you or anything like that, or any special moments for you?
One that makes me laugh every time I think about it is when the first time we went out to the beach for the walks on water thing, and we had to put my sweater over your head because you couldn't see the screen. And then all of a sudden, Swampy runs up and is kind of like goofing on Sean for wearing a hoodie on his head. Then you guys like both get underneath it at some point.
Yeah,
it was just and because Skylar was with us at the time, and yeah. Skylar and I are just like looking at each other, going, "Oh dear God, we're with them, aren't we?"
That was fun. Yeah, we did it. What it was is a thing called Walk on Water. It's an organization.
Oh, that's when I forget. That's when I screwed up the tent thing. I bought a tent cover.
Oh, that's right.
Oh, that's right.
That's why you had to wear the sweater, because I didn't get a freaking tent.
That's right. You got a sidewall instead.
I got a sidewall.
Yeah, it's a wall.
Oh, that was funny. Yeah. The Walk on Water is a surf therapy benefit that our friend Jeff Swampy Marsh, who is the co-creator of Phineas and Ferb, and Milo Murphy's Law. We're good friends with him and Dan. And Swampy is a part of this organization, and they take kids out, especially those who have autism, and where they go out surfing, and just the water helps calm the kids down. It's all about families and everything. It's really great. And you're right, we had a great time doing that, and that was fun because we were actually able to broadcast on the beach. So
on the legit sand.
Yeah, yeah. That was a whole lot of fun, too. What about your birthday, though, when we got you Carlos Alas Rocky?
I was getting to that. I didn't want to make it all about me.
We could.
I want to make it all about my sweater, which I still have. Yeah, well, that would be my runner-up speaking with Wilco. Yeah, that was a lot of fun. I still kick myself that I didn't do his Rocco voice for him, just to kind of show off a little bit.
But
I was being humble.
But you also got a great compliment, though.
Oh, the SpongeBob
with
one.
SpongeBob, because he's worked with
Tom Kenny,
and he said that's the best one he's ever heard, aside from Tom Kenny doing it.
He could just be acting nice.
I think he was very sincere with that, though. I really do. I really do.
Well, it certainly wouldn't be very nice to say, "God, that sucked."
Well, he could also just go say, "Hey, that's not bad."
That's true.
Not bad. And no, and he gave you a really good comment. He goes, "Dude, that's really good." You know, do it again, real quick.
Which one?
Your SpongeBob.
Oh, come on, Squidward.
Yeah. See, you can.
Just one bite. You won't be sorry.
See, that's just so good. You know, the thing is, Zach is just not waiting for Tom Kenny to, you know, be sick. He can step
in. Let me ask Chris first. Chris, does that sound like SpongeBob to you, you know, without looking at me?
I would say so, yeah.
Oh, God, you would say so? See, that's why I'm like, are you sure Carlos was being legit? No. I gotta impress the kids.
Should we call Carlos and find out?
No.
We got his number. We can kill him.
No, I don't want to.
You're for sure.
I get to see him every now and then when I go to Flappers when it's open. I want to keep that relationship.
That's true. That's very true.
He still remembers who I am. So
that's
I
good,
just,
though. Dude.
Yeah. No. Just. I mean, as long as I can get, as long as he says, "Oh, hi, Zach," and he doesn't even really have to, I don't even have to say who I am.
Yeah.
I'm completely content with that until further notice.
See, that's cool, dude. That's pretty cool because he is one of your heroes.
Yeah. Oh God.
He's,
yeah.
Yeah. He's if. Steve, how about you, man? I mean, 4 years doing this together. Anything really stand out, or
yeah, you got a new drug dealer.
Well,
a better
that's
one.
True.
Mm-hmm.
Although I'm going to have to check my contents when I get
for
home,
mold.
See if there's any mold on it.
Yeah, I certainly would do that now. It's obviously you can see it's very easy to pinpoint. I think it also is a temperature thing too. If you leave it out like in the warm, I think it's better to put those in the refrigerator. That might keep them fresh.
Yeah,
anyway, that's all.
It
I'm
might.
Saying.
Well, first of all, having Mark on the show on our 100th episode.
Was it our 100th or was 100th it our,
or
no,
one
our,
year anniversary,
our 1 year anniversary?
1 year anniversary, that's right. That was kind of cool. And then later down the line, having Brian on the show. So, my voice.
I know.
I'll try a different voice.
I'm going to get the puppet in like 3 seconds.
We may need him.
Yeah.
I think the fact that we patterned our show after them and we're, you know, kind of just trying to have a relaxed and humorous atmosphere and you
right.
know, do things like that and stuff. And the fact that they both came on the show and also said, "You guys are doing a great job." You know,
they gave us their blessing to a degree.
Yeah. They didn't really have to do that. They just, you know, were like, they enjoyed themselves and came on. Other than them, Christian James Hand was someone that sat here and I just stared at him listening to what he was saying because it was just, it was mind-boggling to me. And then going to his events and seeing what he did and stuff, and I just, wow, that was so cool.
Yeah, for those of you who don't know who Christian is, Christian is also a DJ here locally in Los Angeles. Occasionally he will go on the air with KLOS, where Mark and Brian also came from. But what he does is something very unique. A number of you have probably seen it on the internet, where somebody isolates the tracks of a certain song. So let's say it's Hotel California, or it's a Led Zeppelin tune or something. And he will isolate the drums, and you'll just listen to the drums by Bonham himself.
Mm-hmm.
And then you'll hear just the bass by itself. Then he'll put the two together.
That bass. Yeah. That bass.
And then put the two together. And then he'll play just the guitar and then just the vocal by itself. Mm-hmm. So you're really hearing how everything really comes together in the making of these great recordings that we have cherished mm-hmm. for years.
And the way he does research on yes. each group when he does a song, he gets all the way into it. He knows who the studio musicians were.
The musicians.
That was that cow song they did. Anyway, he knows who,
it's all about that
who the extra people were, like, and for different groups when they recorded, they had other famous guitarists or mm-hmm. singers or something join in. And the way he gets into that and explains it all, and sort of like a real life situation that you can really relate to the groups that performed. So,
yeah.
Like when we went and he did Michael Jackson.
And which one? Oh, God, they were all good.
The first one was he played Michael Jackson singing at 11.
Oh.
And it was like, it brought tears to your eyes.
It did.
Absolutely did. It was amazing. So Christian James' hand was cool. And then so many other people that we had just a good time with that I really enjoyed. There's too many to really name. But
we've been fortunate. I mean,
yeah.
You know, I agree with you. Christian's awesome. And by the way, too, guys, if you want to hear what we're talking about and understand it, look on Instagram, The Sessions. Very important to do that. You can also follow him at King Trut. And that's his handle there. But you can also go to The Sessions. And he does it almost every night where he breaks a song down and does it through Instagram. And it's amazing. And I kid you not, I've never seen that thing go lower than 250 people mm-hmm. on every time he does it. They're always yeah. there every time he does the video. So really, really cool. Yeah, no, I mean, we there's so many. We've been blessed. We've had Craig Shoemaker in the room. We had Johnny LaQuasto, another great comedian, come in the room.
One thing that for me was really interesting is that when I worked at Golden West College, I was like an employee for the college, so I worked in the scene shop, building sets and stuff like that. Plus, I was acting in shows there, so it was really cool. I spent a lot of time there. And when I'd be working in the scene shop, I would put Craig Shoemaker's Love Master album on the...
Oh.
Bless
you.
On the stereo there. And just listen to him, and it was so funny, and I enjoyed it so much. And then down the road, to have him sitting here in the room right next to me was like, this is really cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, stuff like that.
Yeah, those are, I think, the moments that I cherish, too. We've had certain people. And like you said, we've had both Mark and Brian on the show. Zach was also nice enough to call Brian. And Brian's become a friend of the program, you know, because of what we do. But Zach was nice enough to have Brian call in for my 50th birthday.
Brian Seacrest, God!
That's who they were up against for the Radio Hall of Fame the first year. And yeah, luckily they got in last year, though. You know, I do want to play Brian's compliment with us. It's a little long because I kind of do a long introduction with him and everything. But the way Brian talks to us about it, you know he's genuine. Mm-hmm. On about what we do. So, right. Zach, can you go ahead and play that,
well,
please?
You know, radio is a very strange thing. And every day we let certain radio personalities into our lives. Each generation has their favorites. Wolfman Jack, Robert W. Morgan, Shotgun Kelly, Mark and Brian. What's unique, though, is that because we listen to them every day, we feel as listeners that those radio people are our friend. They share their stories with us, certain parts of their lives. We feel connected every day with them. The man that joins us today, I've connected with for over 25 years. My wife and I have had the pleasure of meeting him at various events that he and his partner had hosted. We've also spent 3 hours together with him in a Las Vegas strip club. That's the story for another day. He welcomed me on his podcast to meet his better looking partner. And every time I did visit him, he always welcomed me with open arms. He's treated my son as if he was the lost uncle my son always wanted to have. He's a man who coined the infamous phrase and asked all of us to be good humans at the end of every broadcast. So it gives me great pleasure to introduce a man who's become a legend in radio himself. He's received Personality of the Year from Billboard Magazine and the National Association of Broadcasters. Plus, he has received an Emmy for hosting the Andy Griffith Special. Why? We have no idea. And a star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame. Please welcome to the show a man we pay homage to every week. Ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Brian Phelps.
Ooh, yay!
God.
That was some intro, man. That was very kind of you. How is everybody doing?
Well, how are you?
I'm doing well. How is everyone there?
We are doing excellent, great. My friend. That's totally fine.
All right, so you guys do a trivia game, right?
At the end, yes.
Can we do that now?
You want to do that now?
Sure.
There we go. He's going to throw us all off.
I love it. Throw the curveball. All right. We can do it now for you, buddy.
No. It's fine. Do what you got to do.
Okay.
Yeah. It'll be something for you to look forward to.
Exactly.
Right. Well, if you don't mind, let me just say this.
Sure. Go ahead, Brian.
I'll probably say it at the end as well. But I want you all to know how flattering and how appreciative I am that you guys do what you do. I mean, talk. It's an honor that you guys would kind of carry on and you enjoyed what we did and how we did it so much that you know this show has become your show has become just such a great thing. And I just want to give you my heartfelt appreciation for that.
Thank you, Brian. That
Oh, thank you.
That means an awful lot, buddy. You know, when you went off the air with Mark and you went with Jill, we still got to enjoy you. And then when you and Jill went off, there was nothing.
Oh, so good, though. I mean, and yeah. you could tell he was genuine.
Yeah.
You know.
It was great with a lot of people that we didn't ever have. So what do you think of this? We didn't ever have to say that. It was like kind of a good feeling to have people say, I really like what you're doing. Without soliciting their reaction.
Right. And we've had other people on from the Mark and Brian program, which they call their family members. We've had the great Chuck Moshantz on, who's now on Spectrum News here in Los Angeles. Mm-hmm. So he kind of returned to the news and views that he was popular for on KLOS radio. We've had Kelly Gates on, who replaced Chuck towards the second half of Mark and Brian's 25-year tenure at KLOS. We've had Tito Benavides on.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, he's become a friend of the program. He's, you know, we talk to him all the time on Facebook and stuff, so we can't wait till he actually comes in and everything. You know, we've had a couple of the producers on the show. So, you know, the main one, producer Ted, who took over the last, I think it was, 12 years of the show that he was with him. So, we've been very, very blessed on the guests that we've had as far as that's concerned, as well as other celebrities, too. One of my favorites was Tracy Newman.
Yeah.
And the first time was a wonderful interview, and then we wanted to catch up with her. And so then we, instead of saying, hey, why don't you come down? She goes, well, why don't you come up to my house? Because I don't want to drive. You know, I mean, that was her reason. She didn't want to drive. Like, yeah. Well, okay, let's go, you know, and we did, and we had so much fun with her at her house to the point where we played a game of what's in Tracy's pantry.
Uh-huh. Yeah, Phoebe was crazy.
Oh,
in
yeah.
There.
She just... that, you know, so much fun. You know, but we got to interview legends like the great Trini Lopez, who passed away last year.
That was humbling. It really was to talk to someone that had not only been so famous, but had gone through so much to stay famous.
Right.
You know.
Exactly. Yeah,
he was a beautiful, beautiful man.
Yeah, he was. And I'm glad that we got to be friends with him, you know, behind
exactly.
the scenes and everything, and keep in touch and so forth. And we wanted to get a second interview with him, and the plan was always to go out to him and see him there, because there was so many different projects he was working on. It's like, well, not now because I'm working on this. And then, okay, well, after this is done, then I'll have you guys over. Okay, great. Oh, well, now I'm doing this. And it's like something always came up for him. And then, unfortunately, COVID hit. And, you know, it locked us all down. But yeah, legends like him. And then, of course, one of my idols also was Michael Nesmith of the Monkees. Mm-hmm. You know, and I was so nervous on that one because I know in previous times with interviews, Michael was just a hard person to interview. And I think because of the passing of Davy Jones and him getting back together with at that time, Peter Tork and Mickey Dolenz, of going out and touring with the Monkees and everything and seeing how much the fans really appreciate him as well, you know, it was a different kind of interview. And it was very, very easy to do the interview with him. It was so relaxed, and we had fun with him too as well.
I remember, who was it did Willy Wonka impersonation?
Oh, Keith. Yeah, Dion.
Keith Dion, yeah. We had so much fun with him.
Absolutely.
You know, he's just a guy who does voices and stuff. But
a fellow actor.
So cool.
A fellow actor. And that's just it, too.
Stuff
I mean,
like that.
We've had other people who had been on the Mark and Brian program who were a part of the program in some way, shape, or form, like Keith Dion, who was known for doing the impression of Gene Wilder and trying to fool other celebrities when those celebrities would call in. You know, or they were in the room. Keith would call in or something like that. The guys would have him call in, and he would do Gene Wilder for them.
Yeah.
Pamela Holt, another one, who got to sing Baby It's Cold Outside with Barry Manilow. She came in and was just so wonderful, showing off her legs to me and everything. It was great. I loved it. She's a wonderful lady. And, you know, we keep in touch with her, too, and everything behind the scenes and stuff. Mark Bonilla. Who did all the Christmas shows for them, put together the band and everything, the all-star band and so forth. And Mark's been on the show, you know, a number of times and is a friend of the program and everything. So, you know, we've been blessed, too, on how we do the show and the people that we approach, that it's a fun interview. It's not just who they are and what they do, but it's a matter of taking a different aspect of their career. Mm-hmm. And try to make the interview different every single time.
And I don't know if we were lucky or what, but it seems like we've never really had a bad interview with anybody because everybody was so up and ready to talk and enjoy themselves. And there's a lot of just so many people that we've met over the years. I know we talk about Stacey Lane
Wilson,
how she used to interview celebrities and
herself
stuff for years, and at a point she said, I can't remember everybody I've talked to,
right,
because there's just been so many. And that's kind of how it is here. I mean, I remember Ken Hudson Campbell was so much fun, just a fun guy.
We should get back in touch with Ken.
And
if you guys don't know who Ken is, Ken is a heavy set actor. He was in Groundhog's Day. He also did Armageddon with Bruce Willis. And of course, our favorite was Down Periscope with Kelsey Grammer.
He played the cook.
He played the cook in that. Yeah. Wonderful guy. He's done more voice work than anything else. Mm-hmm. We have not had a bad interview.
Yeah, we've really had just a great string of great people who wanted to talk to us.
Who said yes, and every time they've gone off the air with us, whatever, they said they had a great time doing our show. I mean, the actor who does Black Lightning right now, Cress Williams, a college friend of mine. You know, I've watched his career grow. Reached out finally, you know, and he's like, yeah, I'll come on the show. We had a great interview with him. But of course, it was the point every time we do an interview, like I said, we try to make it interesting. So for Cress, it was local guy gone good.
Yeah.
You know, because he was a local kid here in Fullerton. He and I went to Fullerton College together. He went on to UCLA and then started his career on 90210 and then is just slowly gone up to the point, you know, he's done a number of other TV shows. He was on West Wing. He was on Heart of Dixie. And of course, and now he's Black Lightning. Mm-hmm. You know, what a great, great thing, you know. We had a blast, obviously, with our friends Jeff Swampy Marsh and Dan Povenmeyer, co-creators of Phineas and Ferb.
Yeah, which is one of my favorite cartoons of all time.
And the thing was that, you know, they've done so many interviews of, okay, how'd you guys get together and all that. We bypassed all that bullshit and just said, let's talk about the music. Because they've written over 400 songs
I know,
for amazing. That show, you know. And then, of course, Swampy is, his grandfather was Les Brown, mm-hmm. you know, one of the greatest conductors in modern times and everything. So, you know, no, we've been very, very blessed. And so, and thing two is we've always wanted to have fun on this show as well. And some of the traditions that we pulled over from Mark and Brian, and of course we changed the names of them to make them our own, but it's basically the same thing, you know. So they used to do something called miniature theater, and all it is telling of a joke in a radio format kind of a thing, and kind of acting it out. We call it pocket-sized cinema. So we're going to play you our very first pocket-sized cinema.
So right now we're going to bring you some class... some culture, simply called pocket size. You're laughing already.
You look so serious.
Did you give me
pocket size cinema?
Print out of the script. Print out.
She's looking at a piece of paper. I'm looking at my phone.
First we teach him to tweet, and now we can't get him off his phone. What is happening?
I gave you the script. Did you get the script?
What?
You got it?
I.
It's not here? It's not in your yellow sheets?
Maybe.
Well, I don't
know.
God.
He gave me a bunch of papers, you know, in our production meeting. There were a bunch of papers, and one of them may have been a script, which... would
You're
make this thing a lot
actor.
More classy if
and a lot more culture.
No, I did not have a script.
Do you want
but
to switch?
But I have it on my phone.
You got it on your phone? Okay.
You got
okay.
it?
You got
it
on your phone. Okay.
I think this will work out.
Okay. All right.
This is going great.
So let's try this one more time, everybody.
Okay.
Class. Culture.
Take two.
Pocket size. Cinema. Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. And welcome to Pocket Size Cinema. You okay over there? Why don't you get undressed and it might make you feel better. Relax a little. We open when a young girl is discussing the birds and the bees with a group of kids in the neighborhood. They all discuss what their parents have told them and where babies come from. After the neighborhood children's discussion, the daughter runs home to find out the truth from her mother. So let's pick up the action here, shall we? As we listen to the birds and the bees.
Mommy? Mrs. Johnson just had a new baby, and Bobby told me that they grew it in the garden until it was ready. Then Mary got all mad at him and said that babies are actually brought by a big bird called a stork. And I asked, how does a stork get it? And Jimmy laughed at me and called me stupid face, and I started crying and said, you're the stupid face, and ran home.
Oh, sweetheart, you shouldn't listen to the other children because, well, they don't really know the truth.
Well, what is the truth, Mom? How do you make a baby?
Well, okay, sweetheart, I think maybe it's time you knew the truth. When a man and a woman want to get a baby, the man puts his penis into the woman's vagina and shoots his semen into her, and that's how you get a baby.
Oh, that's, wow. I guess I understand. But now, I do have another question for you, Mommy.
What is it, Pumpkin?
Well, the other night, I passed by your bedroom and saw that you had Daddy's penis in your mouth. What do you get from that?
Jewelry, sweetheart. Jewelry.
God, she's crying.
And that will wrap up another edition of Pocket Size Cinema. We thank you for joining us. This is Brenton Papa saying, every kiss begins with a K and ends with. Thank you.
I think Diane put it best when she said that Steve sounds like the grandma from Little Red Riding Hood.
All the better to
eat. What a big dick you have. A great lesson learned today.
So there we go, guys. Our first pocket-sized cinema, and that was A Road to Hope. Oh, great job, everybody. Oh, that was good to listen to that one again.
I'll never forget that. That was so much fun.
And that was with our first producer and our first co-host, PJ and V. And V's, of course, so friends of the program.
They were wonderful people. I loved that. Loved working with them.
Yeah, it was great. I just love the fact that she was already snorting, you know. I'm like, what are you laughing at? Whatever. She's like, oh, just the way you lean over, you're all ba 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 boop ba. Oh, so good. Woo. So good. What other ones do we have over there, Zach?
Oh, we have the Adam West tribute.
Oh, you know what? We got to do that one because I know that's one of your favorites there. So we were on the air.
That's right.
We were on the air, and PJ just said, hey, guess what? But Adam West just passed away. And I'm like, what? I mean, I was like in shock or whatever. You know, I'm a huge Batman fan.
Yeah, me too.
And of course, I grew up with that, watching the reruns of Adam West. And I was just surprised. And then Steve comes up with this 20-page script. And I'm going, dude, we gotta shrink it down a bit.
It wasn't that many.
All right, 10-page script.
Yeah, well.
And we gotta shrink it down to like maybe like 4 or 5 or whatever. But it was a good script overall. And so the following week, we wanted to pay tribute to Adam West, mm-hmm. basically is what it was. So this is the result of that.
All the death and
blood.
Well,
we have our own tribute to Adam West, don't we now?
Yes, we do.
Let's see.
Yeah, with my voice, this ought to be interesting.
Yeah, let's see how well we do this. And PJ's going to have a hell of a time.
Yeah, thanks.
You got this. You're such a badass. It's like nothing.
That's right. Yeah. So we're going to have to change the channel, I think, here.
Okay.
CBS News.
To the Batmobile. Let's go. Atomic batteries to power. Turbines to speed.
Roger. Ready to move out.
You think Gotham City is a peaceful city? Ho, ho, ho! Put your gum under your seats, hold your breath, and get ready to cheer Batman and hiss his diabolical enemies. Hissable enemy number one is now about to strike.
So, what do you think, Robin? I'm putting the finishing touches on our new device. I call it the Batfan.
Well, what does it exactly do, Batman?
It renders even our most fiendish enemies into the Emperor's new clothes.
So it just blows their clothes completely off?
Precisely, old chum. I figure no villain in the world will be able to carry out any dastardly deeds naked.
Holy fun bags, Batman. I sure hope Catwoman is up to something we can try it on her.
You read my mind, boy wonder.
Look, Batman. It's the bat signal, but it sounds like the phone.
Indeed, it is the bat signal. Our services to the great city is needed.
Holy changing colors, Batman. It's red. What on earth does that mean?
Robin, prepare for battle. It means the Batcave is about to be compromised. Get ready for a sneak attack.
Riddle me this, dynamic duo. What's loud and useless crumbling before your eyes?
Sean. Oh, sorry, that wasn't in the script. Okay, sorry.
Oh, my God.
Wow. Jab.
Well, shall we go back to the script now?
Batman. Okay, we're back.
Sean, why don't you try that again?
Hold on, wait, we'll take it back.
This scene.
Don't give her another chance to put that in there again.
Shit. It'll be this, dynamic duo. What's loud, useless, and crumbling before your eyes?
You fiendish questioner. How dare you talk about our new commander-in-chief that way?
No, not him, you dynamic dud. It's your door.
Robin, there's no time to waste. To the bat fan. Robin, turn the bat fan on.
Whoa. Whoa. What the hell? Where are my clothes? Achoo, whoa!
Work to my exact calculations.
If you boys really think this adolescent trick could possibly stop me, then riddle me this. What's dull, pink, flaccid, and about to be in your face?
Not a word, PJ.
Robin, I believe he's referring to our new commander-in-chief again. You scoundrel.
Holy obstruction of justice, Batman. You could be right.
No, you Cape corporate sponsor magnet. It's me.
Quick, Robin, hit reverse on the Batfan.
Oh, wait a minute. It's sucking me towards the fan. Shut it off. Shut it off.
Go back to the bat fan breakdown. Take four.
Well, it says fan starts again, not fan breakdown, so I'm just following the script.
Oh, this scene hurts.
Any more ad-libbing?
I don't know.
Okay. Holy twisted gonads, Batman.
I think
the
that's
Riddler's
my line.
Balls are caught in the fan.
I'm glad you, Batman.
I'm glad you're talking to yourself.
You said
you lie. Hey, wait. Adam West did that in the Batman TV show,
yes,
so it's
he did.
All good.
It's all good.
All good.
Oh, my God.
Okay. Why don't you take Robin's lines?
That would be nice. Holy twisted gonads, Batman. The Riddler's balls are caught in the fan.
Even though he's one of our most fiendish foes, we must save his gonads, Robin. Every man, good or evil, deserves to have proper working gonads. Let's get to work.
Oh, not that way. No, not that way.
Sorry, Riddler. Well, it seems to be twisted around. Well, maybe this way.
Oh, too far. Too
oh,
far.
Well, maybe the other one is under. Well, okay, maybe over the Whoa. Other way. Robin. Oh, I think we're almost there. Oh. In all my days in fighting crime, nothing has prepared me for this. Well, I can't look.
Rhythm me this, King Crusader. Holy. Hey, which one of us is in need of a urinologist?
Well, well, my misguided lovelies. What schoolyard and shenanigans are you boys up to? Oh, my God, Riddler, is that your...
Catwoman! To the bat fan!
How convenient.
Oh! My cat suit!
Holy penthouse pet, Batman!
Nice.
See you next week. Same bat time, same bat station.
Oh, God.
Oh, we've had fun. Yeah.
Yeah, that. Yep. And of course, one of my other favorite too that we brought along from the Mark and Brian program was something that Brian did, which was called the Red Carpet Minute. Mm-hmm. And of course, we changed it to the Tinseltown Spotlight.
We just did one.
Last week. Yeah. So here's our first one though that we did, and this is for the Oscars.
Cool. Well, what do we got going on next, guys? Do we have something special going on?
We do.
Yes, we do.
House of the Oscars. Really?
So, we all know that this is going to be interesting. I'll tell you that right now.
I'm so excited. Now, ladies and gentlemen, with the Oscars being the big event tomorrow night, we have our own cracked Hollywood news reporter, Brandon Gordon, with the Tinseltown Spotlight.
That's right, V. Tomorrow is the big night for Tinseltown. So, of course, celebrities are always trying out new diets a few weeks early so they can stretch their stuff for Oscar night. For example, Nicolas Cage says he picks which animals he eats based on their mating habits. He prefers to eat fish and poultry because those animals have dignified sex.
God.
This explains that in the majority of his sex scenes in his movies, he's clothed, but his co-stars do all the work. Remember, Nicolas, it's only dirty if you're doing it right. Diets are even including Mariah Lip Sync Carey. 3 days a week, Mariah says she eats purple foods like eggplants, grapes, and plums. Even with eating those foods and wearing her high-heel sneakers to her favorite gym to take selfies, we're sorry, Mariah, but the world says your ass is still big. Speaking of Mariah, her former husband Nick Cannon was shaken recently when NBC questioned a certain stand-up routine where Cannon trash-talked the network. NBC was on the verge of firing him from America's Got Talent, but instead Cannon got the last laugh and quit the show. After quitting, Nick started to question his own self-worth as an entertainer. Well, Nick, we've been questioning your talent for years. The only reason why we know you is because you were married to Mariah I Like Taking Naked Selfies in My Tub Carrie. Oh, then saw your talent and dumped your ass too. Recently, actor Harrison Ford, who is known for piloting the famed Millennium Falcon in Star Wars films, had a near miss with a passenger plane at Orange County's John Wayne Airport. When asked about the near miss, the 74-year-old actor simply replied,
"Huh?" Oh, God.
It was recently revealed that Nicole Kidman, who received an Oscar nomination for Best Supporting Actress for her role in Lion, was once engaged to Grammy winner Lenny Kravitz. Even though Kravitz has sung about an American woman staying away from him, he obviously had a chance to play with Nicole's Land Down Under. Oh. Talking about adventure in the outback, eh, Lenny? It seems Oscar winner Jack Nicholson is taking his first role in 10 years. I guess knowing the fate of the Lakers' future, he had some extra time on his hands. Jack has also taken a second role co-starring with Diane Keaton. It's a physical comedy with the simplistic title so other geriatrics in the world could relate to. The original working title was Disfigured Cellulite, but the producers felt it was too sexist, so now the film is simply called Wrinkled. Which Harrison Ford once again said, "Huh?" In recent events, Donald Trump claimed that actress Meryl Streep was very overrated, to which she pointed out the 409 acting nominations and 175 awards she's received over the years. Trump simply tweeted, "Oh, hell, Meryl, I have 10 times that amount in pussy grabs during my campaign. How do you think I got where I'm at now? Hear that, world? You're next."
Oh, my goodness.
Well, tomorrow being the big night, everyone will be looking at the fashion on the red carpet, which basically means we'll be able to see starlets showing off their purchased tatas and going commando under those expensive Wang dresses. Speaking of Wang, Dakota Johnson showed us her recent fashion with a touch of her 50 Shades Darker outfit. Of course, Dakota and her co-star, Jamie Dornan, were all about fashion in 50 Shades sequel. It's either you're in or you're out. But for the love scenes, they're in, out, always on her chest, and sometimes in the eye.
Oy.
Well, that wraps it up. This is your host, Brandon Norton, saying Manchester by the Sea will bring hell or high water because Arrival of the Moonlight shows the hidden figures of the lion, who's hiding behind the fences of Hacksaw Ridge. And if you understood that, then all of you belong in La La Land.
That was clever.
Oh, my God. That was... V is so cute. She really was just...
Yeah. Fun. So, anyway, we've had a great 4 years, and we hope to do this for another four or five, whatever it may be, you know, wherever it takes us.
As long as my voice doesn't give out.
Yeah, no kidding. So, but, you know, with the new year and everything, there's so many questions pop up. You know, we got a new president, obviously. How good is he going to do? We don't know what's going to happen, different things. So what better way than to ask the crystal ball?
Ooh, this is a very, very good source.
Exactly. So we'll start off with simple, you know. So I'll just simply say, crystal ball, will Joe Biden, our new president, help us get out of this pandemic with ease?
That is a likely outcome.
Oh, well, that's good.
Woo, yay.
Well, that's good.
So, like, Chuck Moshant's in there.
Yeah.
We can use some positive feedback and so forth.
Exactly.
What, was there an addendum to
no,
crystal
not really.
Balls?
Not really. So, do you have a question for a crystal ball?
Will I be able to easily get vaccinated 2 times?
Okay, we got to start with crystal ball, remember?
Oh, crystal ball, will I find it easy to get vaccinated with both my shots?
I'd be so bummed.
I would not count on it.
That seems to be the going consensus right now. Yeah. So, you're going to find out tomorrow. Or today.
Today with my mom. But she's got the appointment, so we'll see.
Yeah, well, you know, still, people have appointments, and they get there, and it's like,
Let's ask about that. So, crystal ball, my mom has an appointment today at Dodger Stadium to get her vaccine.
Yes.
Will it go easy with us?
The answer cannot be found at this moment.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know what? I think it's probably because a lot of people are going to be there, so it's kind of hard to say how long the wait's going to be.
Don't know how it's going to go.
That's understandable. Zach, do you have a...
Take snacks with
you. Yeah, definitely. Yeah. Definitely take snacks.
I do have a question.
Okay.
Crystal ball. Will I ever figure out if that's a lovely garlic smell that I'm smelling downstairs, or if it's something else?
Definitely, yes.
Okay, good. I got one more, too, that I've been really, kind of, really, really wondering.
All right, go ahead.
Dear Crystal Ball. It's not a fucking diary. Will I be able to one day prove that tomatoes are vegetables and not a fruit?
It is a certainty.
Yeah!
There you go.
It's a vegetable, damn it. It is a damn vegetable.
He's got to prove it, though.
Yeah.
As he said, it's a certainty that you got to prove it, though.
Yep, I know.
So, all right, guys.
Good old crystal ball.
Yeah, crystal ball. Shut off. There you go. All right. Well, we hope you guys enjoyed today's show. We know we had fun and kind of looking back at some of the early things that we did when we first started the show. And once again, congratulations to Mark and Linda Thompson on having a grandson on the way.
Well, at least they didn't do a big reveal and set the world on fire like they did here.
Yeah, no kidding. No kidding. So, that's it.
Well, there's a few things to cover first before we're done.
Absolutely.
As you're shuffling through your papers, I can probably help you with that.
I had another thought, and all of a sudden, you have those thoughts where it kind of comes in and out real quick?
All the time.
And that's what happened to me. So, anyway, show's website is yourweeklydose.com. Facebook page, find us at Your Weekly Dose. Instagram and Twitter, follow us at yourweeklydose1.
Me, Steve. Follow me on Facebook, Steve Silva, and on Twitter, at SilvaLining69.
And I'm at Zombie Mel Gibson on Instagram, doing absolutely jack shit.
And if you want to follow me, Sean, on any of the social media, Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook, It's simply Sean R. Unplugged. And don't forget, guys, you can also listen to us Wednesday through Friday on Delmarva Radio from 7 a.m. on, and on Lime City Radio starting at noon. So see, get to listen to all of our past shows and catch up with us here live every Saturday at 1 o'clock Eastern Standard Time. So until then, guys, we will catch you next week. And have fun, world.
4 more years.
4 more years.
Don't say it's too loud, 'cause the party ain't over till we rock this whole place down. Let the music on there. Don't turn it down.
Thank you for listening to this week's show. Don't forget to support the show by shopping on Amazon. Just go to our website, yourweeklydose.com, click on the Amazon banner, and bookmark. Then start shopping. Remember to follow us on Twitter and Instagram at yourweeklydose1 and Facebook at yourweeklydose. We'll see you next week.